everyone, welcome back to A Life Off KG. Today on the show I have Jean Retief sharing her story. She is the founder of GG Skincare, which is made for people with sensitive skin, which relates to her story, which she's going to share with you. It's an emotional one, so be prepared, but it's so lovely to see what she has done and why she's created what she's created. So without further ado, here she is.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train? Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.
Welcome to the Life of KG. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and to talk to you today.
Definitely. So where in the world are you?
I'm South African, but we live in Portugal. So right now I'm in Portugal.
Oh, lovely. I'm not jealous at all. So do an intro for me, a little bit about you, what you do.
Yeah, so I'm the founder of Figgy Beauty and Figgy Life. Figgy Beauty is a skincare range for dry and sensitive skin. So really, really for sensitive souls with the dry skin woes. And Figgy Life is a community for women like me that have kind of struggled and achieved, but have some traumas that they are working through and things that they feel they want to move on from, but you're kind of overwhelmed by all of this self-help and how you should be doing it, which can sometimes be so self-sabotaging. So it's just a place where it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah, which is important to remember, right? Everyone thinks that we just have to be okay all the time, especially women in business, that we've got to be strong, we're dealing with things daily, and sometimes we do just have to remember that it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah, that's so true, because my background is in international humanitarian and criminal law, so I have a consultancy that's still running and that I had been working in for almost 15 years. And it was really through this work also that I realized and recognized, even though we don't say it, there are so many women in this professional space that feel this way. Mm-hmm. It's just not, there isn't the community and the platform to say it because you seem less than or not as capable as. And you just need that one kind of sacred space you can go to for, even if it is just 30 minutes a week, to just kind of vent and just feel life, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So before you started your skincare range and got into business, what was you doing? What's your backstory?
So my backstory is in international human rights and humanitarian law. And I founded that consultancy during a time when many thought I was really crazy, because how can you build a business based on human rights? But I always knew I wanted to go into that. So for me, it was just the next natural step. But in 2015, I was diagnosed with panic disorder due to a lot of trauma in my childhood that I hadn't effectively dealt with. And I severely mismanaged my diagnosis, which made everything so much worse. And then in 2020, I now refer to it as the breaking. Everything just completely fell apart. My health was in a really bad space. My psychological and mental health was in a bad space. And I had to make really important decisions about how I was going to go forward. And that is how Figgy was born.
Wow. That's incredible. So what got you to the point of, I guess, realizing that you needed some help, or there was something that wasn't quite right that you needed support on?
Basically, it's been there all my life. I've always been an anxious person. And in my younger adult years, I had some issues with, I think, this trauma that was bubbling up that I didn't know how to deal with. I was sexually abused by my grandfather for a long period of time. He lived with us. So it was a very kind of intense experience. And unfortunately, I was sexually assaulted as a young adult again. And I think all of these things just kind of wreaked havoc, you know. And I always knew I had to deal with it. And I felt like I had sufficiently dealt with it as a young adult, because I had been to therapy and I felt like I took all the right steps. But I think when I launched my human rights career, I kind of got complacent in the fact that I was healed, because I was working with all of this kind of trauma themes that I had gone through. And I think I felt I am healed, or I am still healing, because I'm helping these people every day and I'm solving it and I'm working in it. And I never realized that that was actually adding kind of secondary trauma to what I had already been through. And when I had my first panic attack, I was actually traveling for my consultancy. I was in a very rural place. There wasn't a lot of medical assistance around me, and I thought I was having a stroke because I'd never had a panic attack before. I didn't know what it felt like. And that's, I think, kind of the key moment that I realized, okay, something a lot bigger than I think is wrong. And I need to understand what it is and how I fix it.
Wow. And so that's literally called like a panic disorder.
Yes. It's one of the kind of categories of anxiety disorders. You get many different types. You get social anxiety disorder, generalized anxiety disorder. I'm not a doctor, but that's how it's been explained to me. But there's like this whole technical diagnosis they have to go through to make sure you do in fact have this type of anxiety disorder. But what kind of sets it apart from the rest is that, yes, you have panic attacks, but also your behavior starts changing because you're so afraid of having another panic attack. So for instance, for me, in the beginning, I completely stopped eating because I was so fearful of that sensation of not being able to breathe, or that choking sensation. I had this really maybe unrealistic fear of eating because I thought if something is in my throat, then I will choke and I will die. Now that's better, but still when I have a relapse or I have a panic attack, I will, for example, not leave the house because I'll be too afraid to be between too many people or lights or sounds. So that notion of changing your behavior in order to avoid the next attack is one of the key kind of elements in distinguishing it from others.
It's really interesting listening to you, because I'm going through very similar things with my daughter at the moment. And she has 2 to 3 panic attacks a week at the moment.
Oh gosh.
So hearing it from someone else's like voice and what that feels like and why she doesn't want to go out and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, like, it's quite emotional even like hearing you speak about it. So
yeah,
it's, and really thank you hard for sharing.
And I think also what people kind of tend to misinterpret is if you say something like panic disorder or anxiety disorder, people think, oh, it's somebody that stresses a lot or easily, or it's somebody that has panic attacks. But it's so much more than that, because the panic attack is horrifying, but after is the worst. That's the panic hangover. You know, you're depressed, you're exhausted, you're fatigued, you feel guilty, you're ashamed, you can't eat. You get all sorts of other symptoms like migraines and IBS, and because your body is always in that state of constant fight or flight. So it's wreaking havoc on all sorts of other spaces and places. And that's what people don't always understand. Like, it's not just having a panic attack. It's that entire thing that comes with it that you have to manage every single day.
Yeah. And so many people just don't realize that. And even me as her mom, I don't even realize that. So hearing like you speak up and other people, that more people that speak up, more people will realize about this, and, you know, just having more knowledge around it.
Yeah, that's so true.
So how do you find you manage this in like your entrepreneurial world? Because you obviously have your podcast, you speak, you've got your beauty range. How do you manage that? Do you get fearful if you used to go on stage? You might have a panic attack.
You know, that's so strange because whenever I am speaking, I'm nervous, but it feels cathartic to me, which wasn't always the case. So when I was still in my old life with my consultancy, the way I dealt with my panic disorder is denial. The first thing I said to my husband was, listen, a lot of my work involves mentorship and guiding others. Literally anything can be wrong with me except an anxiety disorder. I cannot be trying to help other people and I am struggling to maintain or contain or manage my own stress, so nobody can know. And I think that's a great deal of what led to the breaking. And then with Figgy, how I manage it is by honestly just finding my way every day. Every day with Figgy, it's a new challenge for me in managing what I do with Figgy and how that translates into my symptoms and triggers for my panic disorder. Because where my consultancy was a business that I could say, okay, we wrote this document, we went to this place, we finalized this project, the entire premise of Figgy is my personal life. So there's no break between what is business and what is personal. And I'm struggling with that a lot. So I just had a relapse 2 months ago, a really, really big one. Not that any relapse isn't big. And it was because I wasn't managing that correctly. So for me, it sounds boring, but it's all the lifestyle changes that you have to manage and incorporate every day. It's the support networks. It's being on your medication, if you're open to that and you have a good doctor leading you in that, and staying on top of it. And that's what happened. I went into this kind of complacency zone of, oh, I am meditating. I did do a good bedtime routine. I did do my yoga today. I am eating all 5 meals I'm supposed to be eating today. So I'm fine. But it started feeling robotic, like check, 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 check. And you know, that first time that you meditate and you don't really feel completely in it, you're like, oh, it's fine. Tomorrow will be better. And that first time you skip a meal and it's one of your biggest triggers, you're like, oh, okay, today was okay, I'll be better with it tomorrow. And then you skip 2 meals and then you, so it kind of compounds. And that's exactly what happened. I took my finger off the pulse.
Oh, and you back, hit the ground running again?
No, not at all.
No?
I think I would have done that in my old life, but I just, maybe it's because I'm aging and like my body just can't do it anymore, but I don't have that kind of bounce back I always used to have. I really need time to come back into it. So once that happens, like it did now, I am so blessed to have such an amazing support system in my husband. We have code words that we use to understand where I'm at. We check in with each other. And for now, we know I'm taking it a little bit slower. So that may be I don't work on Fridays, or I leave work a little earlier and I do a longer period of grounding exercises, or I spend more time in the garden, gardening, whatever that may be. I just try to not take it at the same pace and just slowly put myself back to where I need to be while I'm trying to do it in a healthy way.
It's really really hard as a businesswoman, right? Like, because we just don't stop.
That's so true. And I think that's what we sometimes forget to give ourselves credit for, especially when you're dealing with something like a mental illness, because you don't have an off moment. You have to be aware every single second. You have to be aware of the signals your body is sending you. What is your intuition telling you? How are you feeling? Where are you carrying your stress? You have to be so, so, so aware. And it's so easy. Say, for example, you broke your leg and you would come into the house in the evening. Somebody would say, oh, I can see like you're walking even stranger than yesterday. So you must have a lot of pain. Let me help you. Let me help you cook dinner. Or mentally, you can't see it. Everything happens within that person and it's all inside of you. So it's so easy to miss it and to ignore it.
Yeah, definitely. So your skincare range.
Yes.
What made you led to go into the skincare?
When I started Figi, I came to the realization that a big part of what was stalling my healing was the fact that I didn't want to recognize my diagnosis and that I didn't want to deal with it or accept it. So I wanted Figi to be a place for me as well, where I could just be honest. Like, it doesn't make me bad at what I do. It doesn't make me less than anybody else. It just makes me different. So I wanted to be able to, from the get-go, say, this is me. This is who I am. This is who I am wired. I'm always going to be wired this way. So what can I do that would be a creative challenge to me that I like, but that can also put me in the space of recognizing that this is my life and my diagnosis? And one of the biggest symptoms from my panic disorder is really sensitive skin. So I've always loved skincare. I have this wonderful ingredient from South Africa, and I decided this is what I can do. I can do something that directly relates to a symptom of panic disorder, which feeds into my story and my truth and my reality right now. And that's something small, because I think sometimes when we think we need to make a change, we start, for example, with a 30-minute meditation. Like, your body cannot, your mind cannot comprehend that in the beginning stages. You have to go small, and spending time massaging or washing your face and applying a cream, I mean, that's 3 minutes of your day. It's such a small thing you can do. And from all those small things, you can build on something a little bigger and something a little more. So it just felt like the natural step for me to take.
So when did you launch the skincare range?
The skincare launched at the end of January this year.
Wow, that's so cool. And how's it going? How's that journey gone?
It's going well, but it's also challenging, because I come from a service-based industry. So I never really had to deal with the costs of product, with research and development, with shipping, with logistics, with international tax treaties. Like, that was just not something that I ever needed to concern myself with. And luckily, my legal background gave me a very good foundation to start a lot of these things. But marketing completely destroyed me. Like, it's really not within my wheelhouse. I don't know how to do it. It's not something that comes naturally to me. And I made a lot of mistakes with that. I'm on a really good path now, but that has been an incredible challenge, just also because of the fact that these days, especially in the beauty industry with the product-based thing, you're so ingrained in social media. So it's not just about understanding all these weird algorithms. It's also about trying to be comfortable coming from a space where you're a really guarded private person to being so out there, you know, and being so available. So that has been a real challenge for me.
What mistakes do you think you made when it comes to the marketing?
I chose for sure the wrong people, and I paid them way too much money. And I think I lost kind of touch with my own intuition and my own expertise and my own kind of experience in the business industry. Excuse me. And I didn't ask enough questions, even when I felt this is wrong. This, I don't think this should be this way. I wasn't tough enough, or not tough enough, but I wasn't assertive enough to say, like, I don't agree with you. I don't know why I don't agree with you. And I don't have like all the formulas you do, but something here doesn't feel right. You need to explain it to me again or more. And as hard as that lesson was, it helped me and it led me to the right people. And it helped me to understand the right questions to ask and when to ask them, and to listen to my inner voice. I mean, I have almost 20 years business experience. I know these things, but we're so fast, especially when you do something new, to think, oh, I'm not qualified for this. I don't know enough about this. I don't have enough experience in this. I don't have enough skills. And it can really be to your detriment.
Definitely. A lot of our listeners are service-based, and lots of them are wanting to create product, or they already have started like their own product range. I've service-based, I've got a salon, and I've also got a product range. We've got a lash range that we sell to other salons and we retail. It is really a completely different business, isn't it? Being service and business. What tips would you give to someone that is wanting to start a product range?
Whatever you think it's going to cost, add 30%. And if you don't have that to begin with, then try and find a different way to do it. Because, you know, for me, it was a lot like building a house. They also always say, like, if you think it's going to cost this much, add so much. And you're going to make mistakes. And unfortunately, with product-based businesses, mistakes can be really expensive. And you can't afford to always be kind of judging yourself harshly on the mistakes that you make, because it costs money. And not all of us come from, say, for example, a unicorn investor or something. Many of us use our own money. So it's extra stressful because you're taking it away from your family. You're taking it maybe away from your children or whatever to try and make this work. So you don't want to make mistakes that are going to cost money. And the more fearful you are of doing that, the more it happens for some reason. So before you start, figure out how much you think you're going to need to start, add 30% to that amount, and then decide how you're going to do it, just so that you are coming from a calmer point and a calmer space and a calmer foundation. Because for me, I feel as soon as there are uncertainties, especially in terms of money, that is a big form of security for me, I completely freak out. Like,
me too. I always find it difficult though, product. I mean, I've been selling product now for about 12 years, so a long time, but I still struggle with the fact of, I've sold all this, now I need to rebuy it in. And of course, like, I make the money and then it goes straight back out on the big orders, because obviously they're the huge orders that you've got to make, right? Like, you need the money always to do that. So it's always like in, out, in, out. And it's just always like that. It's just the one thing I struggle with when it comes to product businesses. Do you get what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It always feels like you're spending money to make money so you can spend money again. It's so confusing. And sometimes for me, actually, it becomes so demotivating. But I think what keeps you going is knowing that you have a good basis, that you're doing everything you can, that you're keeping your finger on the pulse and on the budget and on the finances, and you have a clear direction of where you want to be. Like, what do you want to be earning or making next year, this time, or 2 years from now? And, or what are you comfortable losing from now until next year so that you can research and develop new things or launch something else? But yeah, I completely get what you mean.
It's like in, out, in, out. Or the manager will go to me, right, we need to place this order. And I'm like, what? We've just had a really good week. Now I've got to spend all that money on product. It's so annoying. When it comes to then creating product, would you tell people to do that through e-commerce and reaching out online, or would you still start in like your area and try and focus on local and build that way? What did you do with your range?
So local was not an option for me because although I'm South African, I've now immigrated to Portugal. And I try my best to, I can kind of help myself in Portuguese, but like my daughter speaks it way, way better mm-hmm. than I do. So just the language barrier and all of that, it just, and also the Portuguese, I think, don't have kind of the same skin types as where I come from, very dry and sensitive. They have more oily, acne prone skin. So it just didn't translate to here. So I launched my business in the United States, which is a market I know very well. I used to live there. I felt that I could communicate with who I wanted to communicate to. So local was not an option for me. I would say to start, I mean, this may be completely different for you, but to start small and with one thing only. You know, I have the online store, which is amazing and which is doing well, but also which is still going through that kind of bumps, you know, where you're figuring out, oh, this isn't working, I need to change this, or there's an error on the setting, I need to fix that. And when you go all in, all over, you start losing track of those small mistakes that become big mistakes that become horrible. So start with one platform where you feel you can absolutely win, whether that be your local store or one e-commerce store. You know, do it like that. For me, Amazon wasn't an option because I feel like you need a degree to be able to sell on Amazon.
Oh my God, me too. I thought, why is this so difficult?
So I was like, okay, no, let me just do what I can do the way I can do it. Focus on that. Do that really well. Make that work. And then decide, okay, where do I want to go next? And then put all my energy into focusing on that and making that work.
I actually really agree, because when I brought out my range, my first product was an eyelash glue, and that done really well. So then I brought out the lashes after that, and then tweezers after that. But because we had the orders coming in, they weren't like massive orders, but we had the, you know, we actually started local, so it was local orders coming in. But then I got like really excited, and I felt that I had to have every single thing that a lash tech needed for their business. So I needed every single size of lash, I needed every single type of tweezer, every single type of glue. So we had to plow so much money into it for me to think I needed to cater for everyone, when actually I didn't need to cater for everyone. So we're actually, even now, like 12 years later, trying to get down to like our niche products, rather than having to think that you have to focus for everyone.
Yeah, that's a very important point, because I also struggled with that when I launched Figgy, because I was thinking, oh, but you know, what if somebody has acne prone skin? This product isn't going to work for them. Should I change it? And then I decided, no, I'm doing this because it's a symptom of my panic disorder. The symptom is sensitive skin. My natural skin type is dry. I want to make a product that is the most amazing product for dry and sensitive skin. Mm. And I still get kind of queries on social media and through the website. Will this also work for oily skin type? Will this also work for acne? And I always say, listen, thank you so much for your interest, but this product's beauty and magic is in the fact that it's perfect and made for dry and sensitive skin. There are people with other skin types that have tried it and love it. And if you love it, more power to you. But I'm not going to market it to you as saying, yes, it's going to be beautiful for your skin type as well, because it was made for this purpose. And I think we're scared to do that sometimes because we feel we have to be everything to everyone and kind of a jack of all trades. But then it starts, like, your expertise and your skills start to lose its magic.
I fully agree. Like, I wish someone gave me that advice like back then. Like, you don't have to cater for everyone. Like you said, a jack of all trades, prime example. Like, you do end up being that, and then just losing your way if you're not specializing in them products that you actually were meant to bring out in the beginning only.
Yeah, and you're losing money because manufacturing all of those SKUs and having them on hand and meeting the minimum order quantities, I mean, that's just overwhelming.
Yeah, it's crazy. What would you say has been your biggest high in business so far?
In business as a whole?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, my biggest high. I would say actually my biggest high is the first time I saw an order come in on my online store. That feeling of vindication and validation of, oh my goodness, somebody loves it as much as I do. Somebody loves it enough that they are willing to pay for it, to enjoy this experience. And just that whole journey of seeing how the money comes into your account. And like, even if it's the smallest amount of money, thinking all of this money and time that I've spent developing this, and here I am, I have my first sale.
I'm exactly the same. So I have a noise that pings up on my phone every time an order comes in, and it's a ching ching noise. And it went off last night when me and my partner were in the living room, and he was like, oh, ching ching. And I still like get so excited every single time an order comes in. Like, I never take that for granted whatsoever.
Yeah, that's so important. And it's a wonderful feeling.
Definitely. Knowing that other people are using your product, and for you, like, knowing that you're helping their skin, their self, like, it's lovely.
Yeah, for sure.
So where can people reach out to you if they're interested in buying the product or just want to reach out to you and say hi? Where should they go?
So if you want to look at the product and the story and visit the shop, you can go to figgi, figgi.eu. And if you want to follow the blog or listen to the podcast, you can go to figgilife.com. And I'm also on Instagram at @jean_figgilife.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You guys that know me know that I love my supplements. It is a must as part of my lifestyle. And I personally use Sky Premium Life. They have a huge range to choose from. So no matter what you're kind of looking for, I'm pretty sure they're going to have. But I personally use the collagen and the hair supplements. And the difference in my skin and hair is absolutely incredible. They are super reasonable, so go and check them out. And if it was something that you also wanted to reach out, you can do that within your businesses. So we've recently brought them within the salon too, so our clients can then buy from us. But you can still just use it yourself, or you can use it in your business. So go and check them out. And there is also a 15% discount code below in the show notes.